For resort living every day, head to mandalayliving.com.au. As well as the championship golf course, clubhouse, gym and pool, the community hub is underway with the superb leisure park and the new primary school now announced. Just 40 minutes north of Melbourne.
Talking about your generation tonight, 7:30, Channel 9. Do not miss it. Sean McCaleb, Robin Butler, and our very good mate, Andy Lee.
Thank you, guys.
Ando, welcome to the show.
He just applauded himself. That was extraordinary.
Well, I looked across at you expecting some sound effect to come on, but
well,
no.
I can give you some applause. Andy Lee.
Andy, an applause.
There we go. Yeah, I know. Obviously, time away from the game, not as important these times. Yeah.
Big night, Andy. This is very exciting. A lot of promotion about this.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it. I mean, I loved the show back in the day, and I'm a huge fan of Sean McAuliffe. So when he rang me and said, "Do you want to do it?" I said, "Absolutely. I'll make any time of the schedule to get across and play with him."
Yeah, and now Lawrence Boxall, he's the Gen Y.
Yep.
Don't know Lawrence.
No one does.
In fact, I think he's Gen Z, so you don't even know what generation he is.
No, Josh Thomas. Yeah, it's a good thing for Lawrence.
No. I replaced Josh Thomas. Which I know it's weird because I am very cuspy. I'm very cuspy. I'm like, there was a big count back.
So hang on, it's X, Y and millennial now? What is it?
And Z.
So it's X, Y, and Z. Baby boom is gone.
Gone. Like the geriatrics they are, they have been totted off. Their advertising dollar not worth a penny. So they're no longer there. But yes, on a count back, like a US presidential election, I got into Gen Y, which I'm pleased about. Yeah. And Lawrence, I think he's 20 years old or 21, and he's heading up Gen Z. He's an actor. People may have seen him. Ronnie Chen, who has his international student, he also presents on The Daily Show in America. Lawrence is acted alongside Ronnie in his TV series, and he's a nighter actor. He said he's not really used to being himself. Problem is, I expected some kind of kid in Gen Z to be all about memes and Snapchat filters, etc. Sure. But he's smarter than all of us put together. So I think they really haven't got the stereotype right. And my jealousy kicks in, and I just spend most of the show calling him a nerd.
It's all about being street smart, Ando. And I reckon
you and I have to say that all the time.
Yes. Hey, how did your little mate Hamish go with you going on this show without you?
I went on with me.
No, without him.
I went on without him, correct.
Is he jealous?
Well, he came and played. He's in an episode which turned out to be one of the most fun episodes. The problem being, though, Feb, is I'm team captain, and I had to try and explain that to him, and he didn't like the idea that officially I was captain. And sure. I kept saying, I have been our whole careers. I don't know why this is feeling so odd to me. But, yeah, most of the show is us arguing about who's the captain.
I love that, though, because I've seen a lot of the press, and the show's getting much press as it should. But so you get asked that so often, out on your, as if you're not a grown ass man who can do your own thing.
I know, but well, ever since he went and had kids without me, I was like, well, this is it. I need to level the score. How dare you? And who's this Zoe woman?
Unbelievable.
What's happening?
Well, we'll be watching tonight, mate. It is back tonight at 7:30 on 9. I think our team functions well because we've always accepted Fifi as our team captain, and
I've never said that.
Well,
responsibility.
I've got the hat on.
You are our team captain, and I'm so glad my sports rap got bumped for that chat because my sports rap's horrific. Thank you, Andy. Cheers.
Thank you, Beth.
Andy Lee.
101.9 The Fox.
It seems like every day we fire off this sting. 2BC, make way
for the fun police. What are you doing? You can't say that.
Okay, enough is enough. Fev, today, big story. And in fact, it's front page of the Herald Sun, and well done to the Herald Sun, because I think it deserves to be there because political correctness has, as far as I'm concerned now, absolutely gotten out of control. And
gone
I don't
mad.
Even know why our councils are involved in this. But in response to an Australian National University, some research that's come out of the Australian National University, now councils are reviewing and possibly could ban children's books, toys and characters for not meeting the gender test. Now let me talk you through this. This is what they're suggesting in our kindergartens and our primary schools. Avoid classifying children according to gender. So you're not allowed to refer to a boy as a boy and a girl as a girl. Avoid use of the terms boys and girls. Can't even say the word girl or boy. and avoid comments that define what females or males should do. So let's break this down. You can't refer to a child as a gender. So no gender identity. I don't even understand what the end game here is. Now, we'll go into this a little bit more. They're obviously wanting to ban Disney dress-ups, Disney books, Disney characters.
No more Elsa.
No, despite the fact, and I have a five-year-old, I'm banging the hitting zone of this parenting. My daughter is more empowered than any girl more empowered than I was. She's got Elsa. She's got Merida, the brave girl. She's got
Jasmine.
Rapunzel knocks Flynn Rider over the head with a fry pan every 5 minutes, and she's like, you know, see you, mate, I'm dominating.
I've had three girls too, Boxy, and my girls are pretty strong-willed. They can look after themselves, and they had all that stuff.
Well, it's true. Well, I mean, fair being, if we took a look at ourselves. Now, even if I sit here now, I'm a radio broadcaster, I'd argue I'm quite successful in what I've done, and I've had a successful career. I had 15 Barbie dolls. I had 12 Cabbage Patch Kids.
Worked out all right for you.
I loved Minnie Mouse. I'm just saying, I'm no stage, and I came through sort of the 80s, where you'd argue that there was a lot of work that needed to be done in terms of gender stereotyping. But let's just go back to what's happening here. So we're looking for gender neutrality. So what is the end game? So girls and boys are not necessarily supposed to recognise their gender. I know, and now this is another point I would like to introduce, because I've got a girlfriend and I've got friends that are educators, but one of my friends actually deals with diversity issues in primary schools. But for the children that do require or maybe are going through issues, maybe they're transgender, maybe, and there is so much education about inclusion now. It's phenomenal. It's fantastic.
And that's a great thing. Yeah.
Oh, I think we are promoting inclusion. We are accepting diversity, but surely not at the cost of denying our genders. This is crazy.
It is crazy. So I don't really understand. So just who's doing this? The council? Is this for people that are transgender?
What this is so everybody feels included, and also
so they
girls
won't be called
and
transgender
boys,
anymore.
They also there is about one issue is inclusion, but the other issue, and I think the one we're honing in on at the moment, is to not stereotype genders. So, for instance, they want to get rid of Thomas the Tank Engine because Thomas is a boy. No more genders. Just have a tank engine.
Well, it's Thomas then. Is he just a tank?
Well, we're going to have
to go. So
we've
got no more names anymore.
Well, yeah. So get rid of Winnie the Pooh and Tigger. Yeah, well, that's
so
what I mean.
So you'll be Fifi, I won't be Brendan.
Are we denying anatomy now? Am I not a girl? And I can't tell my daughter she's a girl, and she's now going to go to primary school and be confused.
It's ludicrous. It makes no sense.
You know what it would be called? I am human, 25. You are human, 26. No more names.
It beggars belief, because what is the next step, North Korea? One haircut, one uniform, that's it, guys. You cannot have any sense of your own.
Brian will be all right. He never gets another haircut because he's got none.
But, I think to myself, I just, what is the world we are bringing these kids here up in? And I don't want my daughter coming. I don't want her growing up confused. I don't want her not understanding that she's a woman and these are your female body parts and this is what happens to you and this is, you're now going through puberty. I mean,
What would happen during sex ed?
And the other point is, this is fine for all these educators. And I want to say something about these universities. We store so much faith in these lecturers or these university heads of universities who decide this stuff and then they implement it into our schools. Well, universities, 100 years ago, we didn't have women. These guys don't always get it right. Like, let's just be clear. We decide that they're the oracle and we'll do what they say. If this gets introduced to our kindergartens and our libraries and our primary schools, I am genuinely thinking we all mutiny. We start our own political
against
party.
Against the Darabin Council,
Don't we just all not do it, Boxy? Well, don't we just say no, we're not doing it?
Well, and what if this becomes
But if your kindergarten that Trixie goes to does it, just put it in another one.
What if they
they'll
all
go
do
bust.
It, but they all start
They're
doing it.
They're not going to all do
because
it.
Because it's peer pressure. And then suddenly, if you're the school that doesn't
We'll push back.
Well,
Let's push back.
Do you know what, Fev? I love it. Let's push back. And 131060, maybe you have an opinion on this. Has this fired you
we'll
up
start
this
our
morning?
Own cult.
Because the other. Oh, I've got so many things I want to say.
We'll come back, Fev. 131060. There are lots of calls coming through when you get to them.
1019, The Fox.
Front page of the newspaper today, Victorian councils are auditing libraries, schools, kindergartens, and they're urging a ban on the terms boy and girl. So they are suggesting now at kindergarten level, primary school level, avoid classifying children according to their gender and avoid using the terms boy and girl. In fact, they want to get rid of all Disney characters, Pooh Bear, Thomas the Tank Engine, anything that identifies a gender. Now, we, the three of us, have microphones here. We've voiced our opinion. We think this is nonsense. This is crazy. This is your gender is your gender. And you can't just, we can't put these kids through primary school gender neutral. And then what's the end game is what I want to know.
Yeah,
like, honestly, where are we going with this? The other thing I don't want to point out, you can get rid of Barbie and Winnie the Pooh and all the Disney princesses at that age, but we all know, and I've witnessed, once kids are 13 and they're on YouTube, good luck. The next minute they're all then role models Kylie Jenner with lip implants and butt implants. So, I mean, where does it stop?
What about basic profiling, guys? So if someone said, oh, explain what Fifi looks like, well, surely the first thing you'd say is woman. I mean, that's the first way to profile.
She's a young lady with blonde hair, blue eyes.
How do we profile?
Oh,
she's that person over there.
We can say that anymore. Now, we've got Shani from Glenroy on the line who's got a different opinion. Shani, talk us through how you're coming at this topic and what your opinion is.
Hi guys, I work in a high school and I work with a very large group of LGBT community, so it's very diverse. I work with someone who's actually gender neutral and I've seen too often cases where it's rather innocent but teachers walking into a classroom and referring to students as boys and girls or, you know, that kind of thing where they're putting a gender on someone because of their looks, and quite often they're making a big mistake because I know on a personal level that there's three students in that classroom that are transitioning and that don't identify as a girl or don't identify as a boy. And that puts them in a really difficult situation because whilst maybe no one else in that room knows it, they are sitting there and they have already been profiled as male or female just based on their looks. And the ramifications of that can be hard. I think we're a society moving forward with a lot of this stuff, and I think at the very least, the gender profiling and changing the way we do that is a step in the right direction.
So out of those three kids, there's probably another 17 kids in there, but how do you think they feel, the 17 kids, if they weren't called a boy and a girl?
But there's nothing offensive of being called a person or students and being referred to as that. That doesn't offend anybody. I think you'd be surprised at how the teenagers actually feel. They're very supportive of this because this next generation that I work with, they are so diverse and understanding of people in that situation, and so they'd be quite happy to have that happen.
But do you think
not the minority, then why would you have an issue with that?
But Shani, it's interesting because I do believe, and I think we've come so far with inclusion and diversity, and we are so respectful of people of race, gender neutrality and encouraging. I totally agree with encouraging positive, respectful roles and relationships. But I would say that having primary school and kindergarten children coming through and not understanding or not being allowed to accept or call themselves a girl or a boy, I just think it's a step too far. I think we're able to acknowledge genders and then work through inclusion issues for anyone who considers themselves a minority. But to deny the genders just seems like that's crazy.
I think, look, doing that at a kindergarten level or a primary school level, there needs to be a lot of, research done into that. I'm not sure that that's entirely appropriate. But I think at the very least, a teacher standing in a primary school saying, good morning, students, rather than good morning, boys and girls, I think that's okay.
Well, Shani, I mean, and thank you for joining the conversation because everyone has different opinions. And it's because I think it's really important because I think people can be labelled discriminatory for even having our opinion. Like we've sat here and gone, we believe in boys being born, should be able to be called a boy and a girl should be able to call a boy. But I'm also incredibly pro-inclusion and diversity. But then you start to get pigeonholed as, well, you don't accept the LGBTQI. There we go. I've already stuffed it up.
Which we obviously do. But I reckon when I was at primary school and kinder, I reckon they said boys and girls. But then when I reckon I was in high school, I reckon the teacher said students anyway.
They may well be.
Because you're older.
That.
I just think it's pedantic because I think what ends up happening is people are focusing too much on language and, the very pedantic elements of this when really at the crux of it is just let people be people and enjoy, embrace their gender. The fact that you're having to deny your gender and not celebrate it and celebrate literature. I mean, the literature that's come through the generations, we always celebrate in Indigenous cultures the storytelling and the cultural significance of things that have come down. And yet we're now supposed to go, deny all of that. Well, that never happened.
If I identify as gender neutral and you would ask someone who does the book Thomas the Tank Engine offend you? I'd be
so
surprised.
So you consider yourself gender neutral?
No, I'm saying someone who did identify as gender neutral, I'd love to ask them, does the book title Thomas the Tank Engine offend you? I'd be surprised if it did, but who am I to guess?
Well, we've got Sylvia from Narre Warren on the line. Hi, Sylvia.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, you know what?
Mm. This is taking away our identity. The more I'm listening to this, the more I'm getting angry over this. I am so glad I got brought up in the 80s. You know, I mean, hey, I'm a girl and I'm proud to be a girl. You know, I've got two kids and I've got one of each and I'm still going to call them a boy and a girl.
Well, I think that's it, you know, Sylvia, and I think there's a lot of frustration and anger, and I think what really gets to us at the moment when we read stories like this is the councils are telling us how we talk to or educate our children.
I thought the councils put the rubbish out and fixed potholes.
Can get back to your parking fines, fix some potholes.
What's that about?
Stay out of our children's lives.
What council is it, Boxy?
There's a few of them.
Well, there's
Darabin will be in there.
Those guys
hate balloons.
Bloody Darabin don't even have balloons.
101.9 The Fox.
Got a great new relationship term for you boys. I think you'll love this one, don't you? Well, I do. Well, do you know what? I love them. I love them because I think they're fun, but also I think they're ridiculous. Like there's merit to them, but there's also dir. We all knew that anyway.
What have been some of the other ones we've done?
Oh, there was
cuffing.
There was cushioning.
Spanking.
There's been lots of things. Anyway, this new one is called monkeying. Now.
I just want to make it clear, Fiefs asked for all these sound effects.
Okay, so monkeying is hopping from one relationship to the next without a break in between. Ooh. Like a primate swinging from rat. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's been around forever, but we're now calling it monkeying.
I like monkeying heaps better than rebounding.
I know, monkeying's really fun, isn't it?
Because you're monkeying around.
See, because Byron sounds said this better. The other day, and I love this, the best way to get over someone
is to get under someone else.
Now,
something else.
No, but I think there is merit.
I'm playing George of the Jungle now, by the way. Because you asked for that as well.
What do you play? Hey, where the monkey?
That would
be
great.
Can you get that too,
we'll
Byron?
Look for it now.
No, 131060. If you are a supporter, or you do a bit of monkeying. You're monkeying from relationship. I think the rebound is a great idea. And I think it's good because it does. Sometimes when you get caught up in the breakdown of a relationship, and I'm, you know, I believe cut, run and move on.
Right.
And to have somebody else or to move on to someone else, I think it does. You suddenly put the last relationship in perspective and go, well, okay, it was okay, but maybe I thought it was better than it was. And, oh, this guy's got this, this and this. Oh, these are great great things to have too. So I actually believe monkeying is good. I don't think you should get too serious when you monkey, though.
Yeah,
go from full-on relationship to full-on relationship.
Yes, Fev, your thoughts?
That never gets old. Now, so we're not talking about someone that's actually dating multiple people. It's broken up with your partner and then you jump straight onto the next branch and you're trying to have a banana.
Yep, it's that. It's a never stop
peeling
down.
Back the bananas.
Like 131060, it would be great to hear from someone who has monkeyed so consistently. They've never been single.
Isn't it
like,
tree to tree, though? Isn't this rebounding but with lots
I just
of people?
Said that.
No, it's branch to branch.
No, it's branch to branch,
right,
mate.
Cool.
You could monkey around in the same tree.
Mate, someone's fallen off the branch, so you jump onto the next tree because you've got better shelter.
Hopefully it's not the same family tree.
All I know is FIFA's asked for calls, and I can see one here that's already labelled, my dad is monkeying.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about a monkeying dad.
131060.
It's a baboon.
101.9 The Fox.
Monkeying. It's a relationship term, and you may not even know that you're monkeying. It's the notion of hopping from one relationship to the next and never stopping. So you might look back over your dating history and go, I've never been single. Because it's very easy to go from one relationship to the comfort of another one, and then suddenly you go, oh, I really like this person. This was just supposed to be a rebound, but now I've got feelings and
I think
a relationship.
I'm a monkey.
Yeah, you. I can see you monkeying.
I reckon I've had a girlfriend since about the age of 13.
Yeah, you've probably never been single.
Yeah, well, only when Alex divorced me for a little bit.
That's it.
Yeah.
That was more teaching you a lesson.
But then I jumped back on that tree. It regrew.
You look at you. Now you're swinging from limb to limb. I like monkeying. I think I can monkey too. Ella in Nunawading. Hi, Ella.
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Ella, are you... Now, hang on. This isn't you. This is your dad's monkeying.
Yeah, it's my dad.
How often does he monkey?
I would say, like, every 2 weeks, actually.
Okay. What? I reckon there's another term for that.
Player.
Is your dad a player?
Well, every time we've got a family dinner or I go to see him... for example, the family dinners, it's more he's got a new girl every time and it's kind of they end up coming to me saying, oh, does your dad have many relationships? And I have to be
my dad's a gigolo.
And be like, oh, no, you're the only one.
Is your dad hot, Ella? Is he a real catch?
Oh, God, no.
You can't ask that daughter.
Is your dad hot?
And you date every 2 weeks.
Send through a picture.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it. I don't know.
Because it's a fine line, isn't it, between monkeying and just being codependent. Like actually sure. Not being able to be on your own.
Sure.
Ella, is he a talker?
He is. Let's just say he's got a lot of love monkeys in his life. He does like talking. He has a bit of a stutter, so I think that's what girls draw, like, them to him, like, right. He would be like, hey, how are you going?
I'm genuinely like intrigued.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
This has been one of the most interesting callers we've ever taken.
Fifi's just got a little itch.
No, you know, I'm
the
just
monkeys
intrigued
start scratching
by that.
Their back.
Okay, thank you, Ella. How about that?
He cooks. That's a win. Is that all the callers we had? No one's monkeying.
It's just Ella's dad. It's 8:01.
And the Beatles.
101.9 The Fox.
We've taken on a number of causes, and let's be honest, most of the time we have failed in the things that we've set out to achieve, like saving Dracula's, the theatre restaurant, which has now been bulldozed. Several other, I think Save Festival Hall was another campaign.
They asked us not to do that campaign.
They literally said, stop talking about us. It's a cease and desist. But nevertheless, we pushed on with this one last week, if you remember.
We are on the hunt for the music bus. This is a music school on wheels, a yellow Mercedes van that has been stolen and it's denying our kids music lessons. It was seen yesterday on Endeavour Road in Cranbourne North around 1 p.m. yesterday. It's a yellow bus. Let's get out there and get this van, Melbourne. Emma, have you just seen the yellow van?
Yes, as you finished your story, it drove past me on Dorset Road in Croydon.
If that bloke's listening, he will be pooping himself.
All right.
Ella's in Croydon. Hi, Ella.
Excuse me, I'm trying to U-turn. I'm trying to find a bus.
No. Don't try that.
Ella, okay, no, calm down. I'm worried about you. What do you mean?
Going.
Hang on, okay. Have you seen it?
I've just turned around and it was stuck at the light. It's just gone through, so I'm trying to follow it to get a number plate for you guys.
Where are you, Ella?
Near the Dorset intersection.
Right, okay, so it definitely is in Croydon at the moment. We're going to pass all this on to the police. Now, Ella, you are doing a wonderful service to the community, but now you have our permission to go to work. We don't want you following them. We will hunt them down.
Well, what a week it was, and we ended the show on Friday by announcing that... the bus was found. It was incredible. We had the CEO of the music bus, Fiona, on the line, and the police in Cranbourne found it, located it. She's got it back, and it was wonderful. We even found the instruments. We had a caller whose father found all the instruments by the side of the road and a lot of the music
books.
Which
is amazing.
So it was a great effort, Melbourne. Well done. Now, Fev, I do have a little update, a further update, though. The CEO. No, you're all good. You're all good. No, there is a bus coming, but it's for another team member.
Okay.
So Fiona, the CEO, sent us a bunch of flowers to thank us for all our hard work to locate flowers. This music bus for the kids. So the flowers came into the office. Then the next time the flowers were seen were on assistant producer Tim James's girlfriend's Instagram feed.
Excuse me?
Wait for it. So Tim's girlfriend Emma on Friday night uploaded a photo of the beautiful flowers her wonderful boyfriend Tim gave her.
Well played.
So we've got Tim James in the studio. Morning, Scotty James's brother.
Good morning, guys.
G'day. My name was on the card as well because I was part of the team. You'd already left on Friday, So I went through the card. Oh, Fee's not here. Fev's not here. But, well, my name's next on the card. So, yeah, sure. I'll take the flowers home.
Mate, I am all with you. I'm all for you. I'm pumped that you did that because otherwise they die over the weekend. And give them to your beautiful girlfriend.
Well, no, hang on. Well but under the guise that he bought them. So I'm not annoyed. At take the photos that were given to all of us because we went around. That's fine. But Emma, your long-suffering girlfriend, your long-term girlfriend, she thinks that you've gone and bought her these beautiful flowers.
Yeah.
And do you remember when I made your minestrone soup and... but actually brought it.
Yeah, I know.
I'm rubbing off on Tim.
You paid for it, best. Though. You paid for it.
But I'm rubbing off on him.
It was just interesting, and I wonder how Fiona feels about her flowers being re-gifted late on Friday evening. Yeah.
When Emma was in the process of putting it up on Insta.
101.9 The Fox.
Saturday night was all about the royal wedding and all about Meghan and Harry. Or was it? Now, I love this because, as I said a bit earlier in the show, I went out on Saturday night and I just saw on a bit of social media all this chat about Reverend Curry. And it's funny when you're not watching something and you're realising, oh, I'm missing something that's going on out there. And then when I caught up and watched the ceremony yesterday, I couldn't believe it. Honestly, when he started, and don't get me wrong, I think it was wonderful to have him. It was fresh, an American preacher. But when he started to talk about how food became sanitized by fire, I thought, I reckon you've gone off topic.
Fire made it possible to cook food and to provide sanitary ways of eating, which reduced the spread of disease in its time. Okay. Fire made it possible to heat warm environments and thereby made human migration around the world a possibility.
This goes for another 12
Honestly,
minutes.
The cuts to Harry's face were amazing.
Fire because made it possible.
I think even Harry, I was imagining how that Reverend had ended up there. And it was obviously a compromise between cultures. There was a lot of American influence in the ceremony and the English influence.
Well, she's Canadian, so I'm not sure. But anyway.
I know, but I can just imagine Harry going, I'll let you have the preacher and now look what's happened. He was apparently supposed to talk for 1 to 2 minutes.
I would have loved
13. He went for 13.
I would have loved a lapel on Prince Philip.
I know.
Just to hear what Prince Philip was up to.
But the funny thing is, the minute, and it is very American, when an American gets a microphone, and that's not me having a slight, because I love Americans and they really celebrate themselves and more power to them. But when somebody gets a microphone and they decide, hey, while I've got it, like this is my moment. I'll never get this chance again. And I thought I'd put together a little list, Fev, of people who have maybe overstayed their moment at a microphone.
Baby, he's got a lift this morning.
Now, who could forget this? This was only last year when ABS chief statistician David Kalish, remember when we were finding out the results of the same-sex marriage postal survey?
Yes.
And, sorry, Fev, you're not there, are you?
What do you mean he's
no.
not there?
No, well, Fev's in Perth at the moment, so his audio's dropped out.
Oh, okay. Well,
so it's just
on.
You and me for a minute, Byron. So remember we were all sitting there going, what are the results? And this guy, David, we'd never heard of, but a statistician, just would not stop talking.
Participation was strong across all ages, with all age groups having higher than 70% participation.
Remember he just gave background on the ABS for about 10 minutes before he actually just said the verdict is yes?
Yes, I know. It was amazing. He went for exactly 10 minutes. Yeah, bang on, 10. Then there was Adrian Brody. He had his Oscars speech. Now, he did win the best Oscar. You'd think you'd get a little bit of leeway, but it's a 45-second limit and they're very anal at the Oscars. He went
45
on.
45 seconds, that's not long, is it?
It's really quick. And Adrian, and I always thought he was quite a demure character. No, he wasn't happy and he made it very clear.
Everybody at the firm, PMKHBH, and you know, this. Wait, one second, please. 1 second, cut it out. I got one shot at this. This is, I'm sorry. I didn't say more than 5 names, I don't think.
Wow.
I love his pushback.
I know,
Brochie.
He's gone, I'm going to stick around. And then this, Fev, I thought, my apologies for the cough, I thought you would like this. So this is a show in the US called Ton of Cash. Now, we don't have it here.
Great show.
But this will be worth it. So contestants, when they get evicted, a bit Survivor style, they walk off. Like they don't, there's actually no forum to have a speech. This guy's gone, hang on a minute, I've got something to say.
There you go, yeah, cough down.
Thank you.
Good. Oh, now you guys can...
Can we hear him? This is what he had to say.
Pointed.
Ridiculous.
There are some last words that I'd like to say to the group. Guys, I don't care how tough you think you are, nothing hits harder than life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, okay? And don't be pointing fingers saying, I'm not where I need to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you.
What's he doing? At the start, he sounded like Al Pacino on any given Sunday. Not how hard you get down, how hard you get up.
And then he turned into George of the Jungle. He was doing an sort of an ape. Impersonation.
Oh, there we go. And that closes the book.
Baby, he's got a lift this morning.
101.9 The Fox.
Now, Fev, why you and I love our jobs and love working at the Fox is because we grew up with a Fox. Fox was, I know, my number one station. I grew up listening to Grubby and DD for breakfast. So did you.
I worked with them.
I always dreamt about one day working at the Fox. Byron's from Sydney, by the way, guys, so he's not in this.
Yes, that's
Melbourne welcomes anyway, people from all walks of life.
Don't worry, we are. We're very inclusive.
Yeah,
but
you better be.
But Fev and I are Melbourne through and through, and we love the Fox. Now, this is great news, and I love this because Black Thunders are back, guys.
I love the Black Thunders. He should be an American guy. What was his name?
No, that was
Stebo.
No, it was Sticks Maribo. And it was
Sticks Maribo.
He was on Double TFM at the time. Anyway,
Black Thunder.
No, he wasn't. No, Sticks Maribo was a different radio station.
Yeah, if you're not helping.
No, Black Thunder drivers. And I now I will reference another radio station. See, I back many years ago was a Rock Patrol.
Triple M.
Yeah, at Triple M. I was a Rock Patrol
rock
driver.
Patroller,
same
yeah.
company, guys. It's all good. But Black Thunders are back. Now, I have got hold of, and I'm not sure I was supposed to get hold of this, but Fev, I thought you'd appreciate it.
How do you get your hands on things that you're not supposed
internal
to?
Internal emails. Niche. I know they come to me. An internal email that was sent to our Black Thunder drivers.
Leon.
Yeah. He's very helpful, Leon. He's a very good executive producer. But I just thought we should run everyone by through this because I'm not sure about this. So all the Black Thunder drivers have been briefed.
This is going to be
good. I want to run by their briefing. So this is what they're being told. When you're travelling to your cross, please pay particular attention to these requirements. Windows down.
Ooh.
Radios up.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And waving. Now.
Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
A couple of things. It's winter. Windows down. Whoa,
you're
going to freeze
the Fox.
In there. Well, maybe we give them like bomber jackets or whatever we're putting
well,
they'd in
there. They have a Fox,
like
Thunder bomber.
Radios up. Absolutely. You'd be pumping out the Fox, waving. Ooh.
Not sure about that. Maybe drive
surely
first.
There's cautious driving.
Or passengers. I think that would be the passenger.
Is the suggestion, though, you are doing the Royal, your Meghan Markle, the whole way along, like on the Monash Freeway?
Good for promotion.
Just 1060 all day long. If you see our Black Thunders without the windows down, ring up and dob on them.
That's not a bad idea. Well, no, because I've been a driver, and there's nothing. I got dobbed on. Do you know I did? I got
is
pulled
Blake
in.
Doing this?
Yeah,
is Blake a driver?
Well, Blake, it's interesting. They've now got pilot names, too. Blake is now, he's no longer Blake, Francis, he's now officially Big Fish.
There we go. We've even got this. Now, Blake is a really exciting young talent. He works as the assistant to the assistant producer on our show.
Yeah, we love having him on our show.
Here
he is
this was
fish.
This was his debut as Big Fish.
Now let's check in with the Black Thunders.
Fox FM's Black Thunders.
They're out. You've got Thunder Pilot Big Fish on the line.
Yeah, Dave, that's correct. Thunder Pilot Big Fish reporting for duty with all the free stuff in Melbourne.
Yes.
It's Big Fish.
Big
they've
Fish.
Taken, they've stolen his identity.
It's Blake Big Fish.
What would you be, awesome. Bob? You'd be Big Fish. I'd just be a little snapper and old Little Fish over there, Byron.
Byron Little Pond.
Little Fish. Little.
Who knows? Anyway. Look.
You'd be Sardine.
Okay. Sardines are actually very on trend and very healthy, interestingly. So thank you for that compliment.
For resort living every day, head to mandalayliving.com.au. As well as the championship golf course, clubhouse, gym and pool, the community hub is underway with the superb leisure park and the new primary school now announced. Just 40 minutes north of Melbourne. 101.9